was pleased as punch to announce the Used Wigs radio team has triumphantly kicked down the gates of podcast number 10. The boys are extremely excited and busy high-fiving, hugging, breaking stuff, and celebrating this momentous occasion with a big pitcher of apple teenies and freshly baked muffins. Now, with no further ado, here they are, your hosts, Russ, Todd, and Jeff!
Thank you, Lisa. It is true. This is podcast number 10, Used Wigs Radio. We've probably been delivering you months upon months of amazing music and mildly entertaining chat. I hope you've enjoyed the 9-plus podcast. As always, on my right, Todd Marone. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Jeff. And it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, it has been a wild ride. But before you get into our wild ride, why don't we say hi to Russ. Hi, Russ.
Hello, Jeff.
Russ is busy packing boxes because we'll be moving to Russ Stark Studios Part 2 in a couple months. Guys, it sounds pretty cool here. Some sort of new microphone thing going on, huh? What is that all about?
It does sound great.
Yeah, it's like it's in both your ears. Do you think it has anything to do with our new microphone? Used Wigs Radio now has two microphones, twice as good as having one microphone. Todd's lovely wife, Heather, was kind enough to give Todd a microphone setup for his birthday.
And it's more of a gift, I think, for all of our hundreds of thousands of listeners out there.
I agree. You're a very giving person, Todd.
It was between that or donate money to the orphanage.
No.
And I chose the listeners.
There you go. Good.
They're kind of like orphans.
You know what? There's not many orphanages in towns. Like, you don't go driving by like, oh, there's the general store, there's the post office, and there's the orphanage.
I think we'd be hard-pressed to find an orphanage that we could even drive to or get to.
Maybe we'll do a remote broadcast from an orphanage. Boy, will that be a fun, joyous podcast. But in addition to our new microphone, we also have new vocal talent helping us out. Which is nice. We're going to have a lot of new stuff going on the next 10 podcasts that will really enhance your listening enjoyment.
And hopefully make you forget all about podcast number one.
Oh, Russ, told you not to bring up podcast number one.
Well, it scares me because if anybody wants to find out what this podcast is all about and they start at number one, they're probably not going to listen to podcast number two.
That's true. Podcast number one stunk. Not the music. The mumbling, bumbling delivery of your three favorite hosts who really wasn't our strongest podcast.
It's the before, and this is the after.
So you're saying these podcasts we're on hydroxycut.
Uh-huh.
We're ripped.
We are tanner, leaner, meaner,
right,
and hairless now.
So this podcast, we're walking down the beach confidently. And podcast number one, we're kind of like sitting under an umbrella with a giant, like, terrycloth robe.
While we're on the subject of weight loss, have you guys seen the Jenny Craig commercials geared towards men?
No.
It's hysterical because you've seen hundreds of them, maybe thousands of, like, weight loss commercials for women, right?
Sure have.
Well, it's the same scenario. Like, there's a guy standing in front of a white background showing before and after shots, but there's an announcer that's like, oh, hey, guys. And it's, like, this really deep, gruff announcer. And all the guys are talking about, like, how their sex life is better. And it's like, gotta get back in the game. Like, it's the most ridiculous kind of take on a weight loss commercial equation that we've seen so many times for a female. And it makes me almost angry that that's the stereotype that I think men have.
So there's no way to get through to a guy, like, you're fat. Guy's like, so what? I'm fat.
Right. Sports and sex are the two ways that you can motivate someone to lose weight.
I can still watch ESPN and play my fantasy football when I'm fat, so I don't care. Yeah, but your sex life will be better. Oh. Keep talking. I haven't seen the commercial, Todd, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Is it one of those late night commercials? Or
I see it on the Game Show Network. I watch it almost 24
hours. Ultimate Fighting.
Yeah. Well, why don't we flip around the channels and look for that commercial? And in the meantime, for our listeners, how about some editors?
I'm so glad I found
Wigs Radio Podcast number 10, now in stereo with two microphones. That's right, people. That was Munich by a band called Editors. And normally I do a lot of research on a band before I buy something, but this song, I just heard it on insound.com radio, and I said, I gots to get me that song.
Well, you can tell us a little bit about the dance that you did when you played it for us.
When you hear a song like that, with that overly dramatic vocal delivery, you can't help but put one hand in the air like you're semi-clutching something, and your other hand...
That's the claw, right?
The claw, and it's like you're on a mountaintop singing this very dramatic, epic song like Morrissey would, or some overly dramatic band like that.
But, you know, speaking of, you just reminded me of, have you guys ever seen, there's a picture that was circulating where, you know, there's like those yellow signs that they post around town that say, "Stop for me, it's the law." And there's like a pedestrian walking.
Yes.
Well, there's one that somebody doctored up, and they didn't doctor it up digitally. They did it in real life. They painted on the sign, and the walking pedestrian, they painted a giant claw on the end of his hand, and it says, "Stop for me, it's the claw." And they put like this and actually, I have the picture, so I'll send it to you, Jeff, and you can post it with this.
Oh, I'd love to.
It's very funny.
Now, I know, Todd, you're a guy who likes to just download songs, not knowing a lot about the band. You just hear a song and you're
guilty.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like knowing too much about an artist, any kind of artist, visual artist, musical artist, anything, kind of clouds your judgment of the work, or, you know, sometimes I think that it just kind of exists independent of the person. Or a writer, you know, if you read a book, you don't need to know the whole backstory of the author sometimes.
No. You know what, I'm such a snob, but I'm a good indie music snob, and it works for this show. If I hear a song I like, first thing I do First thing I do, then I wipe, and then what I do...
Nice, potty jokes, podcast 10.
Right.
We made it.
I check and see what label they're on, and if they're on a major label, then I just ignore it. Because I'm like, you know what, I just really can't enjoy this, knowing that there's a chance that it'll be on MTV, and it'll be overplayed, and the band will be touring with Bud Light sponsoring it, and... It just really kills it for me. I like to know this band's on a label that is really just themselves, you know, or just a small label. Does that ever come to the equation for either of you guys?
Well, Todd was trying to get me into some music. I guess it was either last summer or the summer before, and he would actually he would burn me blank CDs and say, "Listen to this. I'm not telling you who it is or anything like that, because if I tell you, then you're gonna be biased. And he was right, because
the mystery discs,
right?
Yep.
They're right. There was the mystery disc series, and one of them was it was Sean Lennon's album Into the Sun. And if he had handed me, hey, this is Sean Lennon's album, I would have automatically dismissed it, I think.
And was it good?
It was actually very enjoyable. And after I got through it, I got in touch with him and said, you know, it's funny because
you got in touch with Todd or Sean?
With Sean.
Sean,
and we went out, had a couple beers. I said,
awesome.
Hey, Sean, it's funny because.
But now he won't return his calls.
Right.
No, but I kind of thought that his voice sounded a little bit like George Harrison, or like early George Harrison, and then there was.
Are you saying George Harrison's his father, in fact, and it's not John Lennon?
Well, that's exactly where I was going.
George Harrison got a piece of
it's
Yoko.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, and that's really all I was going to say about it, so Jeff just stole my thunder.
Well, I'm sorry for stealing your thunder and your joke, but let's not throw that out there. There's enough conspiracy theorists with Kennedy and Elvis. We don't need anything to go on with Lennon.
We don't need a Sean Lennon.
Yeah.
The point was, I kind of enjoyed the album.
Okay.
You know, I thought it was a good album. In fact, I do own a legit copy of it now, which I would have never gone out and bought it if Todd hadn't, put the veil on it.
I don't know if I'd enjoy that, Todd. I think I'd be too apprehensive listening, knowing that I could possibly like something that is popular and that other people really enjoy.
It's like putting a blindfold on and just start kissing people.
That'd be a great idea. You blindfold someone, put them in a party, and they just have to go around kissing people.
Yeah.
And then they have to find out, like, I really enjoyed kissing number six.
And it's Sean Lennon.
it's just like the family dog. Enough blind kissing and nonsense. Let's hear a song. Todd, we're going to hear something by They Might Be Giants.
How about it? Hey, Mr. DJ by They Might Be Giants from the album The Early Years.
I could never sleep my way to the top, because my alarm clock always wakes me right up. And since my options have been whittled away, I struck a bargain with my radio DJ. I said I'd like this song to be number one. He said I'd really, really like to help you, my son. And then I knew that I would have him to thank, because he asked me how much I had in the bank. He said to think long-term investment, and that all the others have forgiven themselves. He said the net reward would justify the colossal mess they made of their lives. He said the record wouldn't have to be hot, and no one ever seemed to care if it's not. It would depend on something else that I've got, and that the other ones are giving it a shot. I'd seen a modest sum grow geometrically, and then they had forgiven themselves, because the net reward had justified the colossal mess they made of their lives. Hey, Mr. DJ, I thought you said we had a deal. I thought you said you scratch my back and I'll scratch your record. And I thought you said we had a deal. Well, I told you about the world that's a dress. I wonder when you're gonna clean up the mess. You know the rabbit child is still tuning in. Chesapeake's face is patient, must be wearing thin, because they haven't played this song on the air. Not that anyone but me even care. And the disc jockey has moved out of town. The district caller says he'd know where to be found. He said to think long-term investment, and that all the others have forgiven themselves. He said the net reward would justify the colossal mess they made of their lives. Hey, Mr. DJ, I thought you said we had a deal. I thought you said you scratch my back and I'll scratch your record. And I thought you said we had a deal.
Giants with Hey Mr. DJ. A piece about, I think, the recording industry, and furthermore, I think more importantly, not being able to get your records played on the radio or on MTV.
Are the Giants, are they on a major label? I don't really know.
No, aren't they? They're on their own label now, aren't they?
I don't even know. I don't know that kind of stuff.
Oh, so you're just so not into not knowing that you don't know. See, I would know that. But I mean, have they sold a lot of albums? I mean, have they? What would you
think? It's hard for me to say because I've been such a big fan for so long. What do you think? You're not a fan.
I'm thinking of eating a pretzel right now. So, Rush.
It's going to sound great on the microphone. Well, one thing about them that I know is
it'll only be in the people's one ear, though.
Yeah, I always kind of assumed that they were bigger than I think they actually are because a lot of people from our generation can sing Particle Man and that kind of thing. You know,
I don't know if a lot of people can sing Particle Man in our generation. Like, maybe the people that we hang out with are...
Oh, maybe. But anyway, what I was going to say is when I went to go see them live, I expected it to be a bigger deal than it was, but it was at a small place, the Vanderbilt on Long Island, and there was like maybe 100 people there, and I expected a lot more than that. But you know, they play relatively small places.
I gotta ask, Scotty girl ratio?
Yeah.
No, there was a decent amount of girls there, Jeff.
I would say
because a lot of almost the whole show, people are jumping up and down and having fun, and there's balloons.
20% of the general population has heard of They Might Be Giants. I would say 94% of people that have been locked in a locker. Should we just do the whole segment over again?
Yeah, it sucked.
Well, he was eating the pretzel, and we didn't really say.
I think the pretzel's fine.
Oh, okay. I thought we're still okay. We just need to get out of this somehow.
Oh, okay. Right,
why don't we talk about? Let's just completely turn topics, okay?
Okay.
Guys, I've heard of something really, really horrible going on in the Great White North, Russ's favorite country. Have you heard what's going on in Canada, in Toronto? To be
just moments ago, though, when you shared it with me.
Breaking news on Newswigs, the website. Lord of the Rings, the musical, is in production in Toronto, and I heard it's getting savaged. True? Russ, you heard that?
Yeah. I've only read a couple of reviews of it, and not because I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, because, Todd, I'm not. So I was actually kind of glad to see that it's finally getting its comeuppance.
I don't want to hear any of them sing. I don't want to hear any of them break into song.
Yeah.
You know, I can picture, like, the elves singing, but, you know.
Like an Oompa Loompa song.
Yeah, something like that, but no.
Did you read those books as a kid, Jeff?
Yes.
You did?
I read three of them. And I was really into them. And when the movies came out, I was very excited. I saw the cartoon movies years ago. And by the third one, I was just enough. You know, it was just, I was so sick of seeing the actors and the whole.
Well, and the Elijah Wood reaction shot.
Oh, Gandalf!
I was just so tired of seeing his eyes and his shocked face and him struggling with putting it on his hand. I mean,
and the fat Goonie.
Jeez.
What's his name? Sean Astin.
I didn't watch any movies.
You didn't watch any of them?
No.
It's weird, the stuff that I think you've seen that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
But you go and see Broadway musicals, right?
Right.
Like, what, you? Annie was a favorite?
I like
you
Annie.
What you said? You were singing it.
Are you trying to out me? Yeah, I like Annie.
You were singing a song from Annie, and I just thought, I saw Annie as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen Broadway musicals recently?
We go every once in a while.
You go see like that crap stepping out like Billy Joel musical?
No. I bought that CD though, actually, and listen, I did.
Oh.
And from, I think, BMG, because I just...
Why?
Because. That's why.
No, there's no follow-up.
Because I couldn't figure out, like, what else I wanted from BMG that I didn't have already.
And you
like,
thought...
Right, let me... I love Billy Joel so much. Let me hear what a stage interpretation of some of his music... But, now, the funny thing is, actually, I think I maybe own 1.5 Billy Joel CDs.
But you felt the need to hear what a stage version...
He's a piano man, dude.
Oh, you suck. Russ, why don't we hear something by one of your favorite bands of all time?
Yes, speaking of Canada, this is Canada's finest export, the Rio Statics.
Supplies, now we don't die, huh? dream, I've got a plan. I leave this world, live off the land. Once I get good, once I get better. God bless the pain that came with supply. Now we don't die. We go out of the gray into the blue above. When I get happy again, I'll just go back and try it.
Has driven to Canada to see them perform.
Wow. Yes, I have. Well, they don't play in the States anymore.
There you go. Hey, we're going to do a little segment we used to do maybe once or twice. It's called Google News. We go to the Google News page and we just pick out a story. And guys, I picked out one. It says, pig fat, now good for you. The health conscious trim the rind off bacon and give pork crackling a wide. Who the hell wrote this? Is this one of those like Hong Kong sites that
maybe a chicken wrote it, like to try to
you're right.
Get people some chicken. Eating. Yeah,
right. No, that's true. U.S. scientists have genetically modified pigs so that their fat is oozing with omega-3 fatty acids. The acids usually found in salmon, tuna, and mackerel are thought to have health benefits. Now, you guys eat meat. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you be more? Would you get excited to find out that the bacon you're eating or the other parts of the pig's ass are now healthier for you and they're filled with an omega-3 fatty acid?
I like the sound of it oozing fat.
Right.
That sounds good.
But my wife recently made a dessert out of pork rinds.
You can't call it a dessert.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, it was pork rinds.
And your wife is known for making some pretty rough desserts.
Yeah. Well, this one was pork.
Old
pork
Big Mac Hall?
With, like, shaken in a bag with butter and cinnamon. And it tasted like the cinnamon crisps from Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
But a little bit porkier.
But seriously, I speak from experience because the one time I was over their house and Heather was raving about this dessert she had made and Todd was kind of keeping mum on it. And she said, no, it's like this mousse, this chocolate mousse kind of thing that I made. Come on, I still have some. And she brought it out. And I'm not kidding. It was like tile grout. Just tasteless, gritty. Like paste in your mouth.
Does she try to like make desserts with atypical dessert food? Is that her thing?
It would seem so, wouldn't it?
I mean, I've tasted some great things that she's cooked as well, but dessert so far she has yet to.
The funny thing was is that before it was served, Russell was like, I'm sure I'll like it. I like anything, you know, like that's great. That sounds awesome. I'm sure I'll like it. And then he put it in his mouth and he just sat there motionless for a few seconds, like it was a joke.
And watching the tentative smile slowly fade from Heather's face as she realizes she's not going to get a good response and she sulks back into the kitchen.
Yeah, there are very few things that I won't eat.
And that was one of them.
There's almost nothing that I won't eat, but there's very few things that I don't like. But that was one of them. I wouldn't go back for seconds on that.
But what do you think about them just growing animals? It says the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine created piglets which convert the less useful fatty acid omega-6 into omega-3. They're taking a sweet little sentient being, a piglet. Just the word piglet makes you tear up. And it's as cute as a puppy. And they're injecting it with giant needles, the little things running around in a little veal fattening pen. And they're like, okay, now he looks like he's more healthy to take a bite out of. Does that sound good?
No, you don't make it sound right. I don't make it sound good.
That's it.
I hate when you do that.
I know. And that's, I'm sorry, people. I will probably take this bit out. I don't mean to make you feel bad about what you eat.
No,
it's
delicious.
I'm still gonna have a piglet sandwich for lunch.
Have you ever like spent time with a pig?
Yes, I have actually.
But they're very indifferent. Like they don't acknowledge you. They don't look at you. They don't pay attention to you.
You know why? Because you're scared to freaking death you're going to take a bite out of
them. They don't know. They don't know about that. Nope.
One second they're hanging out with Roy and Fred. Next second, Roy's gone.
Roy is such not a pig name, first of all, so we know that you're making this all up.
What's the difference?
Lawrence is like a pig name.
What's the difference between a pig and a hog?
This is a joke?
No, I don't joke when it comes to...
A hog is bigger and hairy.
A hog is bigger, but what is the weight demarcation that one is a pig and one is a hog?
That's all it is that splits them as a weight?
Mm-hmm. 280.
100 pounds. Over 100 pounds, they're a hog.
Huh. And a boar is what, a wild version of a pig?
A boar, they have like tusks.
Right.
Right? And they're on the
team. But they're in the same family, aren't they?
Yeah, if I learned anything from The Lion King, then yes, they have tusks.
Yeah, so that's Google News for you. We learned about they're taking sweet little piglets, injecting them with giant needles to make them more tasty and healthier for you people.
Yeah, but what are they doing to plants? They're doing the same thing.
To plants?
That's sinister.
Yeah, plants. I mean, come on. There's all kinds of fertilizers and growth things. And I mean, everything we eat is all pumped full of stuff, unless you're really going out of your way to just get organic.
Yeah, Mr. Plant Eater.
That's true. Yeah,
and
I watch
screaming as he bites into them.
Yeah, but you're right. Can we just listen to music?
Yes.
That will make everything better, and it'll make me happier. We're going to listen to a band called Crooked Fingers, and this is A Call to Love.
Straight talk, woman, got no time for games. Don't leave my heart, keep running.
Hi, people. We're back. This is piglet-free talk for the next couple of segments. No talking about pigs or piglets. That was Crooked Fingers with a real happy song called Call to Love. And they've been around for a while. And they normally play more kind of not-so-happy stuff. And that was a nice little change
bouncy.
Of pace.
Yeah,
it was bouncy.
They don't normally have a woman in the band, do they?
No. Well, they have a...
And that was a female voice, right?
Yeah, they do have a woman in the band, and she plays either violin or piano or something.
I like that. It kind of made it seem a little bit like Len's If You Steal My Sunshine.
That was a good song.
Remember that song?
That was their best song. That was Len's best song, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that album everywhere, and I never...
You see that in the bins a lot, because people buy
it. All the time, yeah. And it looks like it... I always have equated them with, like, Limp Bizkit or something like that, because that's what the artwork looks like.
No, they're... Well, that song is a real kind of chill, happy, like, smoke a little weed, drop a little X. And
I know the song. I didn't know that was them.
We dive deep.
Todd, what's going on with you lately?
Well, it's spring.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that yet?
No, it is spring. Spring has sprung. It's upon us. The daffodils are coming out. The cherry blossoms are blooming or blossoming in D.C.
Spring is nice because I can take to the street with my chalk and do drawings on the street.
Oh, you do some public art.
Maybe you've seen some of my work.
Met you, I saw your art in Old City hanging around, and it was like, you could just take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought when I saw it, I'm like, this is kind of probably some prank that if I took
you thought there was like a string connected to it, and as you reach for it, it would be like, it would zip away like the dollar in a casino.
An ink pack on you.
Right. But
remember, and now we can dust off our hippity hops.
Yeah.
Remember the hippity hops?
Yeah, hippity hops. I know they...
Oh, but you can do that indoor and outdoor, I think.
Yeah.
That was a semi-dangerous.
Clip-clops. You remember clip-clops?
Clip-clops?
Oh, yes. The little buckets that you wore?
Yeah, it was like the little upside-down cups that and you wore them on your feet.
Do you know where I think those originated from? Because the clip-clops I had were from Romper Room.
Yeah.
Yes.
You ordered them from Romper Room.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, that was badass.
Romper Room.
Was badass.
It was so badass.
That's how I think they advertised them. Clip-clops. They're badass.
They made you so much taller.
Here's a little trivia. What was the name of the mascot on Romper Room?
Mascot? It was a bee.
What was his name?
Mortimer B.
No.
Buzzkill.
Mortimer was the name of Bill Cosby's magic pen.
Wow.
Or magic marker.
And that was like a bee-looking thing, too.
Yeah.
Bee?
I get my cartoon bees.
Hint?
It's very easy. And it has bee in the name.
Brian.
Buzzy.
No. It has bee in the name.
Beatitude.
Doobie.
Doobie? Doobie? Are you serious?
Yes. Doobie?
Oh, that makes
His name was Doobie, like D-O-O-B-E.
Which is also
like,
slang for...
Like, be a good little Doobie.
Isn't it amazing, all the shows back then, all their druggy references? Like, if you go back to, like, Sid and Marty Krofft and you watch those shows, everything from Sigmund and the Sea Monster to all those shows.
The Bugaboos?
It's all just...
Bugaloos?
Bugaloos.
Boogaloos. Yeah, it's all just pot-based references,
you know, and... Yeah, I'm going to give Romper Room the benefit of the doubt, because I really don't think that that's where they were going with that. I think it's, you know, remember that expression, I'll be a good little doobie.
But they used to also have, like, psychedelic mirror thing, where they would call people's names.
I don't think it was really psychedelic.
Well...
I don't know. Maybe I don't know, but I feel
it
like...
It was when you were high on Robitussin.
The hosts on Romper Room were more, like, motherly characters.
Yeah, you're right. No, I'm just sure. They weren't.
A little maternal.
They were. And then Magic Garden, you guys...
Yep. Yes. Chuckle Patch.
Sure. Not as funny as you'd think, Chuckle
Patch. And Sherman was the pink squirrel.
No, his name was Sherlock.
Sherlock. Crap.
God, you are just... You're off your game tonight.
Yeah. And who were the two hosts? What were their names?
Paula.
Right.
Paula. And,
See, but that one originated in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It's Paul, and Carol.
Paul and Carol,
And you would wonder what key unlocks the story box. Remember the story box?
Yeah.
You got a story box, pull out an outfit.
I speculate that this section of the podcast will be enjoyed immensely by four people.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's twice a given.
You know what? It's about time, because I know Jeff is in the same box as me, where... I'm tired of hearing about all the things Captain Noah and all this stuff.
Crappy ass budget Philadelphia.
All this stuff that people in Philly watched when they were growing up, and we had completely different stuff. And then when I mention it, people go, "What? What are you smoking? That must have been some Long Island stuff."
Wonderama would have kicked.
I know Wonderama. I remember Wonderama. It was like a game show kind of thing.
Yeah, it was great. Bob McAllister.
And they would have to bounce a ball on the ground and then go collect the prize and then catch the ball.
Yeah, that's it.
And I remember Picks.
Channel
picks.
11.
They would have to say the word Picks to actually shoot the thing.
Right. That's because WPIX was... Because all the Yankee games were on that station.
This is the most gratuitous podcast segment.
It's all right. Wait, look, this is Pat Ourselves on the Back podcast.
Okay.
Number 10.
That's right.
We made it this far.
Right. We deserve to talk about things that maybe only the three of us in the entire tri-state area remember.
True. Next we're going to hear, how about two gallants or two gallants? Maybe someone will tell us how to pronounce it, but I think it's gallants. What do you think?
You're probably right, yeah.
All right, this is Steady Rolling, Two Gallants.
You might have seen me beneath the pool hall lights. Well, baby, I go back each night. If you got a throat, I got a knife. Steady rolling. The sweetest sunshine drips the drain. Death's coming, I'm still running. Well, I come from the old time, baby. Too late for you to save me. If I remain, then I'm to blame. But if you should ever need me, I'll go. Just a slave to sound. The debt's coming, I'm still running. Well, I come from the old town, baby, where all the kids are crazy. If I remain, then I'm to blame. But if you should ever need me, I'll go.
Guys, I want to talk about a simple topic. It's changing your opinion on a song based on an experience.
Okay.
Now, once I hear a song, I decide whether I like it or not. It's normally set in stone, and I will not change.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you get sick of hearing songs, certainly, or you like songs a lot more when you kind of first hear them, maybe, and you get tired of them.
Sure. Let me give you a little for instance, if you will.
Please.
Iron and Wine. They came out, you know, a couple years ago, Sam Beam, and, you know, he, a lot of acclaim, and I listened to it, and it was, and when I first heard it, I'm like, you know what, it's just so minimalist, like, whispery, twee stuff. I'm like, it's fine, but I've heard enough of this. And I think it was because there was just so much of that, I dismissed it, and I didn't like it. Fast forward a year and a half, I'm in my favorite bar, North 3rd, Philadelphia, Northern Liberties, and it's 5 o'clock. We got there early. The sun is gently setting. The sun is hitting my one-year-old daughter's hair. It's glistening in the sun. She's laughing, eating a French fry. My wife's sitting next to her, laughing, eating a French fry or two, and they're playing the whole Iron and Wine album. And it was one of the most beautiful, happy moments for me. I was so filled with joy. And it was obviously because it was a beautiful day and my family was there and I was drinking Belgian beer, which are all wonderful things, but the music was just so perfect. And we sat there, they played the whole album, and I'm like, wow, that is the best album. Went home, bought it, and now I play it, and I love it because every time I hear it, I think of that exact moment.
That reminds me of when I was little, I used to love Tang.
Sure.
The orange drink. Yeah.
Right.
And I used to love it. And then I got really sick once, and then my mom tried to hide the medicine, like the cough medicine, in the glass of Tang. So I would have to like drink the entire glass of Tang, and then it tastes all medicine-y. And then I think I threw up in the Tang, you know.
So your mother ruined the Tang experience.
From then on, I couldn't drink Tang anymore. So,
what a horrible mother.
I mean, it's a similar story, except for...
You know, when you said Tang, it reminded me that when I was a kid, we used to drink Tang and eat Twinkies. And I have this terrible memory of Twinkies because I was hanging out with my friends one time. I was probably like in fifth or sixth grade, and one of them made me laugh while I was eating a Twinkie, and I coughed a Twinkie up into my nose. And it's not like when you laugh and Coke comes out your nose.
Yeah.
It would have been the same thing, except the Twinkie is hard, so it got stuck up there.
Uh-huh.
So I had big globs of Twinkie up in my sinus cavities.
With
that I was
Tang?
No, luckily there was no Tang up there, but I was blowing my nose and Twinkie was coming out.
Did that ruin Twinkies for you?
It pretty much, well, Twinkies are so bad for you anyway, but...
Guys, this is a used wigs moment there. That went from one minute from beautiful story to disgusting story.
Yeah.
One minute.
Do we have two more songs, Jeff?
Since we talked about Iron and Wine and we talked about Twee and we talked about just beautiful, simple music, why don't we listen to a little...
Says, wake up, it's no use pretending. I'll keep stealing, breathing her. Birds are leaving over autumn's ending. One of us will die inside these arms. Eyes wide open. Spread our ashes round the yard. She says, if I leave before you, darling, don't you waste me in the ground. Smiling like our sleeping children, one of us will die inside these arms. Eyes wide open, naked as we came. One will spread. Ashes round the yard.
All righty, people. That beautiful song was Naked As We Came by Iron and Wine. We're going to wrap up podcast number 10, the greatest podcast we've ever done. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Todd, do you have any shout-outs?
My latest compulsion is something called the 365 Days Project. It can be found at ubu.com or ubu.com, depending on whether you like to say letters or read letters. And click on the 365 Day Project. It's just a bunch of just audio files, 365 to be exact, of the most outrageous, crazy, terrible, dismal recordings ever made. People archiving them from old records, old cassette tapes that they buy at garage sales, just terrible, dismal stuff, and it's so alarmingly, poetically beautiful and bad. I guarantee you can't listen to just one.
That was a good sales job. It sounds intriguing.
That's great.
Russ refuses to do a shout-out because he's busy.
Well, actually, Todd has gotten me hooked on 365 Days, so I've been spending a lot of time there as well.
A co-shout?
Co-shout.
Can we get
a high-five on anyone?
Okay. Co-shout from Russ and Todd. Well, now they're chest-bumping and high-fiving. Guys, in keeping with being, you know, the sweet Jeff and the as opposed to the always angry or annoyed at something, my shout-out will be a simple little website called Cute Overload. Todd's website is a visual, as an audio treat, while this is a visual treat. If you go to type in Cute Overload Google, because it's one of those really long URLs, but all it is pictures of cute animals. There's a kitten in a toilet. That's pretty cute. There's a bunny in a palm of a hand. That's so cute.
Yeah.
This is just the cutest sight, and it's just cute little animals.
A kinder, gentler Jeff.
Yeah, and I really hope you don't evolve into one of those people who sends, like, you know, the things with the talking animals or talking babies.
This animal is very cute. He's in a little dog bowl, and he looks so sweet. People, that is Cute Overload. Just type it in Google, go to the site, or there's a link off of usewigs.com, your one-stop shop for nonsense and daily distractions. Guys, Use Wigs Radio is almost done, but Todd?
Maybe we can close with a track from the 365 Days Project?
Sure. Thank you for listening to these 10 podcasts, and we hope you'll be with us for the next 10, and the next 10 after that.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. Over you.
Over you.
Over you.
Over you.
I want you to want me. I need you so badly. I can't think of anything but you. And I think I'm going out of my head. 'Cause I can't explain the tears that I shed. Over you.
Over you.
I see you each morning, but you just walk past me. You don't even know that I exist. Going out of my head. Over you. Out of my head. Over you. Out of my head. Day and night. Night and day and night. Wrong or right, I must think of a way into your heart. There's no reason why my being shy should keep us apart. Keep us apart.